hopefully folks from the administration coming in to actually see that the time and the energy and the recognition that Teach to Matter has earned is well deserved. Mm-hmm. And we'll also have, of course, the community partners there. And, you know, next semester, and I'm so grateful, I was hoping Lauren would say she was going to do this.
What if
so
I
next,
said no?
We put her on it. Yeah, I got to record it, Lauren. We're done now.
I can hold her ransom now.
Well, that's it.
So I'm hoping next semester
make it a ringtone.
I'm hoping next semester that those students that were with their cooperating teachers this semester will enroll in field experience for the spring and then turnkey it with the students, because that's where the power really, really lies. And it.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Egyptian officials say a French ship has detected signals thought to be coming from the black boxes on that Egypt Air flight that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea last month. Flight 804 was carrying 66 passengers and crew from Paris to Cairo when it went down May 19th, killing all on board. A new poll out today shows Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton leading Republican Donald Trump in a very tight race. The Quinnipiac University poll has the former Secretary of State ahead of the likely GOP nominee 45-41%. The race tightening up even more when a third-party candidate is added on. Donald Trump lashing out at some media members for their coverage of his donations to veterans groups.
I'm not looking for credit, but what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars, have people say like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze.
The veterans groups, by the way, all saying they got their checks. This is USA Radio News.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Verizon workers expected back on the job today. Nearly 40,000 East Coast workers walking off the job in mid-April. Their union, the Communication Workers of America, saying the tentative deal reached last Friday includes nearly 11% in pay raises over the next 4 years. A baby at a New Jersey hospital is believed to be the first in the New York area to be born with a birth defect linked to the Zika virus. Details this morning from Sarah Lee Kessler.
The baby was delivered by C-section yesterday, 4 weeks early at Hackensack University Medical Center. She had an abnormally small head and a partially developed brain microcephaly, also digestive and vision problems. There is no cure. Her 31-year-old mother contracted the virus in her native Honduras after reportedly being bitten by mosquitoes. There have been two other babies born in the U.S. with severe Zika-related birth defects, one in Hawaii in January, and the other last month in Puerto Rico. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The president does not share the views of his former Attorney General Eric Holder when it comes to the NSA leaker. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with details from Washington.
Does President Obama agree with the view of former Attorney General Eric Holder that NSA leaker Edward Snowden performed a public service when he leaked thousands of classified U.S. documents? President Obama's spokesman Josh Earnest says...
Well, the president's had the opportunity to speak on this a number of times, and I think a careful review of his public comments would indicate that he does not.
Earnest arguing Snowden's actions...
Endangered endangered our national security.
In a recent interview, Holder had said the actions of the former NSA contractor prompted an important national dialogue about privacy rights and national security. Snowden is still living in Russia and faces criminal charges here in the U.S. Holder did agree that Snowden broke the law and should be tried in a U.S. court. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A lot more kids may be getting concussions than we think. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero is here to explain.
A new study says concussions may be vastly underreported because only children diagnosed in the ER are included in government statistics. The study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found only 12% of child concussions are diagnosed in an emergency room, while 82% are diagnosed at a primary care site, such as a pediatrician's office. The study also found that one-third of those diagnosed were under the age of 12. I'm Anthony Lucero.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News. Get breaking news on the web at usaradio.com.
And good morning, and you know what that time is. That's time for decorating, and today's show is a terrific live show here on Modern Design. My guest in studio is Jane DeHaven, a local resident of Flemington for many years. And we're going to talk about a special event that's going on this week. It's called Stroll Through Flemington, and it's a historic house tour. And what could be more appropriate for Modern Design to have something right here in Flemington in our borough. Good morning, Jane.
Hi, Rich.
Okay, so let's take a look at the weather first and see what's going on. Currently, the National Weather Service is telling me that it's fair skies at 79 degrees, a nice weather. Today should be mostly sunny with a high of 85. Tonight, it will be mostly clear then patchy fog with a low of 56. On Thursday, there's going to be areas of fog, then partly sunny with a high of 76. Thursday night, there's a 20% chance of slight showers with a low of 59. On Friday, there's a 50% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 75. Friday night, a 40% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 60. On Saturday, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, partly sunny with a high of 82. Saturday night, 30% chance of showers with a low of 61. And finally on Sunday, of course, because it's a Sunday in the summer, showers likely 60% with a high of 77 degrees. Well, my name is Richard Scuderi, and our program here is called Modern Design. We meet with you each Wednesday from 10 to 11, live in studio. As I said earlier, my guest today dear friend and actually relative is Jane DeHaven, and she has been a resident of the borough of Flemington for a number of years, and she's involved in something called Stroll Through Flemington 2016 Historic House Tour. Can you tell us a little bit about it, Jane?
This is now the second historic house tour that the Historic Preservation Commission has put on, and we're very, very happy to be a part of it. They invited us about a year or so ago, and there's mm-hmm. been a lot of preparation for it.
And when is it occurring, this Saturday?
It's this coming Saturday from noon until 5 p.m.
Okay, wonderful. And then how would someone get tickets, or how can they get more information on it if they'd like to go?
More information, website is www.historicflemingtonnj.com, and a number of local businesses also have tickets available.
Oh, wonderful.
As well as Borough Hall.
Wonderful, wonderful. And how many houses are on the tour?
There are 4 private homes and then 4 public buildings.
Oh, wonderful. So you really could make a whole day of it.
Exactly.
Terrific. Have you seen any of the other houses?
I have not yet.
Uh-huh. Now, that day, will you be in your house?
Yes, we will.
Is that stressful, hosting your home and having people come in from the outside?
It's like having a great big party and
right.
getting ready for it.
Wonderful.
Gives us some good deadlines to get projects finished.
Wonderful. So being that you're a historic house and you're here, right here in the borough, tell me a little bit about your house. Do you have a history of it? Do you know when it was built? Do you have any history of who built it or any history of the home?
We do. In fact, we did quite a bit of research when we were getting ready for the house tour.
Right.
The house itself was built in 1876.
Isn't that nice?
By the Umpleby family.
Uh-huh.
So it's 140 years old now.
Wow.
And interestingly enough, only a handful, I would say a half dozen families have owned it throughout the years. So
wow.
when we moved in, we were very happy that all of the historic woodwork was intact. No one had done, an untoward
modernizing it in the 1970s.
At
yeah,
points.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. And it also says that whoever was in that home, they lived there a long time because they really liked the quality of life they had there and the home itself.
Exactly.
Had you made any changes yourself since you've been in the house?
We have not made huge changes. The folks that we bought the house from did put on an addition.
Okay.
So we have a family room, and it enlarged an upstairs bedroom, which was very nice.
Mm.
We actually took down the chimney from basement until roof line to restore the original fireplace.
Right.
So that was quite a bit of work, and we completed that in the late 90s.
So when the house was built, what was the original source of heat? Was it the fireplace?
The original source of heat, we believe, were coal stoves,
which
was state-of-the-art in 1876.
Wow. And I would imagine the electrical was knob and tube?
The electrical is knob and tube. All of what we consider today to be modern conveniences were added over time.
Time, exactly. Wonderful. So how long have you been in the house?
24 years now.
Wow. And in those 24 years, from when you purchased the house from the previous owners to where you are now with it, did you do a lot to put your own stamp on it?
We did a lot as far as the color schemes and just bringing it to where we wanted
your
it
flavor
to be.
So you didn't necessarily change any rooms around or repurpose rooms or put maybe a dining room and a living room. You know, sometimes people in Victorian homes do that.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, the folks that we bought the house from did have their living room in what's now our dining room.
Wow. See, and I didn't even know that. That was good. Okay. And so you made it work for you.
Exactly. For a few years when we were first in the house, we kept that same layout.
Right.
Both rooms are quite large by Victorian home standards. They're about 15 by 17 feet.
Now, that surprises me, Jane, and it's something that I did want to talk about, and it's one of the reasons that I think you guys should buy tickets and go see some interesting things, is that because your house is historic, because it was built at the time it was built, Victorians classically have a lot of small rooms. You have a lot of big rooms. I mean, your dining room is very big.
Exactly.
That most colonials don't even have dining rooms that
very
big.
Very much about it.
Right. And not low ceilings. And you know, I think there's a misnomer about Victorians, and we haven't done enough, I think, in modern design for the year and a half we've been doing this on Victorian. So I'm glad we're focusing on that, because a lot of people in Hunterdon, in this part of the county, have Victorian houses, and they want to bring life to them, and they want to honor the traditions of what a Victorian is, but they also want to live comfortably, and they want things to be bright. And I think you've done a very good job of making it up to date and still keeping the integrity of the home. So I think that makes it somewhat challenging, don't you?
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. We're fortunate that all of our woodwork was meant to be painted white,
right.
And we currently have it painted white, which pops, as you would say.
Well, let me ask you about that, because that's a very, very big thing in my business. Because, as you know, I have Maven Hill Designs for 19 years now. And I'm starting to – if it was 17 years, I'd say 17 and a half years. Now that I'm getting older, so I'm like, oh, it's 19 years. I just saw it on LinkedIn last night. It's actually 19 years I've been doing this. I'm like, wow, that makes me older and older. So now I don't want to say. So for the 19 years I've been doing Maven Hill Designs, one of the things that is very tricky with people and they take to heart is their woodwork. And in non-traditional homes, when we had the big boom out here, when people were going west in the early 90s and there were all those new construction houses, in the early 90s, people were still putting stained wood trim, believe it or not, in the early 90s, and people were paying extra to have oak doors and oak saddles and oak trim, both baseboard moldings and so on. And then I come in 20 years after the fact, and I will say to a couple, you want to modernize your home because you're getting ready to sell now and downsize, or you want to make your house look newer, what you should do is we should do a light sand, and then we should change that from stain to paint, and it'll make your house brighter and appear more up-to-date but still honor the style it is. And that's probably my biggest challenge today in decorating, because the mindset of those people is, I paid extra money to have oak doors, and I paid extra money to have oak moldings. Now I'm covering it. But often stained trim takes all the light away from a room, and it could be not attractive. So in a home that's not a historical home, it's not, to me, it's a no-brainer. You paint the trim a beautiful shade of white and a semi-gloss, and then your colors pop and everything works. When you have a home that's a historical home, not so easy. And I guess my question to you is, and we're going to take a commercial message and we'll come back and answer it. If you had purchased the home and it had all wood trim that wasn't painted, would you have eventually painted it or not? Okay, on that note, you can think about that. We're going to go to our first set of commercial messages, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And we are back with Modern Design. My guest today is Jane DeHaven. She's a longtime resident of the borough here of Flemington and has a beautiful Victorian home right in our borough. And we're talking about what's upcoming, which is the Stroll Through Flemington, which Jane is telling us is going to be this Saturday. And what are the hours again for those who are just tuning in?
This Saturday from noon until 5 p.m.
Wonderful. And do you think it's are the homes in a very close proximity where you could walk, or do you have to drive to these, between the homes?
Well, I guess the answer to that would be how comfortable you are walking.
Right.
I mean, there are a number of homes that are right near Main Street, as well as the public buildings. Mm-hmm. Ours is out a little bit.
What are the public buildings? Do you know the four public buildings?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
The County Courthouse,
okay. The
Doric House, the Flemington United Methodist Church,
okay. And
Flemington Women's Club.
Now, is the Doric House the one where the historical preservation, that building, that's sort of that creamy yellow color?
Yes, it is, right on Main Street.
Did you notice that's the color of my house?
That is.
I think I thought it up first, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, so before commercial break, before our little mini cliffhanger here on Modern Design, I was asking Jane if her trim had not been painted, if she inherited the house or purchased the house from the previous owners and it was all stained trim, would you have stayed with that or would you have painted it?
I do think that it always makes us cringe, my husband and I, as mm-hmm. we're watching something like this old house,
right.
to see someone with, you know, beautiful chestnut woodwork
right.
paint that woodwork
right.
because of a design trend.
Right.
So I don't believe that we would have painted woodwork if it was not already painted. But
right.
I don't also know if that woodwork would have spoken to us and we would have bought the house to begin with.
Well, you know, one of the things that I tell people is, and this is, and I know you're very much into preservation, as am I, and I would say my mantra is, and this is the thing that brought me into design. My dad was a custom house builder and my mother worked with him in the business. And my big thing is, if you build a federal colonial, don't decorate it with Danish modern furniture. And I see that all the time. I have a lady who I met with recently out in a western part of Hunterdon County who came from Manhattan, and her dining room set in this beautiful farmhouse was a modern paper lantern from IKEA and a black painted picnic table. I mean, it just doesn't work. I'm very much into respecting the architecture of whether it's historic or not of the home and decorating within that.
Exactly.
Having said that, that does become quite hard these days because the trend towards being a little bit more casual and being a little bit more modern is all that's out there. And to some degree, I think you want to see yourself reflected in what you see out there. And now my house is not a historic home, but it's very traditional. And I keep to that tradition. I find it difficult when I go shopping to purchase things for my house now because there's very little out there that is still traditional. Almost everything is contemporary. Case in point, I wanted to put some new pillows in my family room. And it's been hard-pressed for me to find pillows that will work. I find my color scheme, and then they're very strong geometrics, and they just don't flow with my style. Do you find challenges when you go to decorate or change things because you have a Victorian home and you've kept to the Victorian style?
Our family room is very traditional in that it has plaids and dark wood and so forth.
Right.
But yes, I did want to look for pillows myself a few years back, and it was very difficult finding a plaid anywhere. I was online looking at websites in the UK.
Exactly. You really have a hard time finding that. And I find that as well. And that's one thing about modern design. The show is called Modern Design, but it's not about contemporary design. It's about design in 2016. And whether that is you have a bungalow at the beach, or you have a farmhouse, or you have a colonial, or you have whatever, a contemporary, or you have a Victorian house, what are the best ways? What are the resources you can go to in the tri-state area to get those things and to do it in what's appropriate to the architecture of the home and also what you enjoy and what feels good to you? Now, you and I have known each other for quite a long time, and a lot of things that we talk about are color. And I always say on Modern Design, color is magic. Paint color is magic and really can transform a room. So I know you've done a lot with paint and a lot with color. When you first purchased this house, and this is a question I don't know, what was the color scheme like in the interior? Well, first of all, start with the outside. Was the outside exactly as it is now? You honored that, or you changed the colors?
The outside was very similar.
Right, and you have a white clapboard outside with shutters and a nice, beautiful, a grand front porch and a lovely back porch as well. So I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, the color scheme was very similar on the outside. The inside, over time, we changed a bit.
So when you inherited the house, the color scheme on the outside, you probably changed, tweaked it a little bit. But the colors were the same. But on the inside, when you purchased the house, what kind of colors? Because you did do a good amount of work, I imagine, to the kitchen, didn't you?
The kitchen, in fact, yes. We redid in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So
what were the cupboards like before you changed out to the beautiful white cupboards that are very appropriate to the house? What was it like before?
The original cupboards were beadboard
that
were not original to the house.
Right.
They were actually put in by the previous owners, which was in keeping with the house's scheme at that time.
Right.
Though it's Victorian, they had much, much more primitive furniture than we do.
Right.
Interestingly enough, the beadboard cabinets were natural wood, a light stain.
Right.
We painted them white a few years later just because it felt better to us. Mm-hmm. And we kept them white when we redid the cabinets, which are now a shaker style.
Right.
Do
you realize how many years ahead of time you were by going with white shaker cabinets? Everybody does white shaker cabinets now. But when you did yours, and you said in 2002?
2002.
People didn't do white shaker cabinets, and they were still into very ornamented cabinets, and they didn't go for the simple classic style. And can you see 14 years later how you really were ahead of the trend because you did what was appropriate for the house?
That's exactly what we feel. I mean, I think that you have to do what's appropriate for the house.
And most people just do not. I see people on real estate shows, or even clients I take on, why did you buy a center hall colonial if you want to fill it with Danish modern furniture or whatever, or French provincial or what have you furniture? People don't seem to put those two things together. Don't you see also on these design shows, people will buy these houses and just sort of disregard what they are?
I mean, that always puzzles me.
And you can see it consistently. The thing that bothers me is that designers don't – many designers – and there are good designers out there, but many designers – have a brand, and if their brand is a specific look, they take that one brand, that one look, to whatever they go to and just sort of put it in there. And that really irks me. One of the things that I can say about myself, certainly is always a learning experience, and I aspire to do things better and look to other people to do that, but I see many people in my industry that just don't respect architecture and that just – There's no excuse for a homeowner that's not trained. There's no. I can understand you inherit furniture, you make it work. But if you're a designer, you're paying somebody, and you have a certain style home, a ranch, let's say, and then you're filling it with furniture that doesn't suit it, that's, you know, that's just not, to me, that's really some, that's a waste of money and time. You really have to do that. Because, you know, when you look at a house, to me, the outside is just as important as the inside, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
But more and more, because we have this sort of trend towards contemporary, people are just disregarding it, the outside, the facade, the surround, the area, and then making everything super modern. I was in Branchburg the other day, and in a lovely house that was a Tudor, and the woman wanted to find me all sort of contemporary, sleek, black and white artwork. And I said, you know, well, black and white artwork is very nice. And in the contemporary house I'm working on, I had a piece in my car that I was bringing. It was black and white. It was very sharp looking. It was great. And I even showed it to her, and I brought it in. I said, see how this doesn't go with your house whatsoever? You need to, when you make a purchase, you have to say, okay, I have a Tudor. When you have a Tudor house, Tudor is grounded by what? Dark molding. So when you have dark molding, you want to use earth colors. You want to have woodsy pieces, and you want to work with rich colors and fabric, because you're limited what you can do with the wall color because you're grounded by so much dark woodwork. So that's where I get with people, that they just don't get a feel for a house. And I think you have to have a feel for a house. When you were looking for your house, did you go through a lot of houses before you settled on this one?
Yeah, that's difficult to say. I'm not even remembering how many we looked at.
Right.
I would say at least 20.
Wow.
But when we walked into this house, it spoke to us. This is where we saw ourselves
living. Right. And what would you say spoke to you? What was the thing that maybe you just said, this is the house?
We liked the size of the rooms. Mm-hmm. And the rooms are separate. Mm-hmm. I know that today, as you speak of trends, so this
right.
whole open concept is a big new trend. And for the right house, it's right. For the right people, it's right.
Right.
We loved the house, the size of the rooms, and the
right.
fact that there are many doors. That's kind of an interesting...
But not cluttered or clunky. It's very nice the way it's laid out. So even though there are many doors, it's very open when the doors are open.
Exactly.
So I've had you've entertained and been in your home for several large parties, and it just flows beautifully. Did you find that a lot of the Victorians you looked at had small rooms?
Many of them absolutely did have smaller rooms.
And did most of the Victorian homes, just because we lived differently than we did then, had additions on them?
I'm not sure.
So, but you know, it's funny because people were smaller, and I always say this when you're trying to find furniture for a Victorian or a historic home, I won't go to the furniture stores because it just doesn't speak to you. So I'll go to consignment houses, and I'll go to places that have resale beautiful furniture out in Pennsylvania or in southern New Jersey, Connecticut, these places that have wonderful pieces. And you'll notice that the dining chairs are absolutely tiny. So I found a set with a gorgeous table, gorgeous mahogany table, and the chairs look like just like two little dainty ladies that could sit on them. But, you know, you have a 6'4" guy that he's going to collapse that chair. Do you ever find that? Because I know your passion for furniture, you're out looking just to look sometimes, but you're out there a lot looking at wood pieces of furniture. Don't you find that the dining sets tend to be very small?
They do, and they can be very delicate, as you said. We've also found that trying to just work with upholstered furniture can be difficult as well. I mean,
Very much so.
You probably know this better than I, but mm-hmm. the normal size for a sofa is
right.
something like 90 inches.
Right.
That just won't work
exactly.
in Victorian homes.
The problem with, and this is, you also bring up a good point, the problem with upholstered furniture is it really isn't a standard size per se for a sofa, and furniture has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And in, you know, older homes and smaller homes, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. And a big mistake that people make, and I should, to all our listeners out there, you should really template everything. Because when you're in a 10,000 square foot furniture showroom and you look at the sofa, you're like, oh, it fits perfectly. And you get it home and it is the entire room. So I always say to everybody, whether you're working with a designer or you're just a person looking for a new piece of furniture, take the dimension before you purchase, take the dimensions of the furniture, go out and get yourself a couple of rolls of the blue painter's tape, which doesn't damage anything. Take the dimensions and tape it out. Tape out your rooms and live with it for a couple of days. Can I walk around this? Is this going to be cumbersome? Maybe it fits mathematically, but it just won't look good because it's too much furniture for the room. And that's a big thing. I think they have to do that. Now, the opposite is true when you have, not in your case because your rooms are so big, but if you have an older home or you have a Victorian home, you want to do the same thing before you have a piece. Make sure that it fits because it's the right size and the right scale for the space. You know, a thing, again, a lot of times people have bought things and called me and said, I bought this sofa, but it just doesn't look right because the scale is wrong, which is another big part of it.
Exactly.
So, particularly in a Victorian home. All right, Jane, we're about to go up to news, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on 100 in Chamber Radio.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Egyptian officials say a French ship has detected signals thought to be coming from the black boxes on that Egypt Air flight that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea last month. Flight 804 was carrying 66 passengers and crew from Paris to Cairo when it went down May 19th, killing all on board. A new poll out today shows Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton leading Republican Donald Trump in a very tight race. The Quinnipiac University poll has the former Secretary of State ahead of the likely GOP nominee 45-41%. The race tightening up even more when a third-party candidate is added on. Donald Trump lashing out at some media members for their coverage of his donations to veterans groups.
I'm not looking for credit, but what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars, have people say like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze.
The veterans groups, by the way, all saying they got their checks. This is USA Radio News.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Verizon workers expected back on the job today. Nearly 40,000 East Coast workers walking off the job in mid-April. Their union, the Communication Workers of America, saying the tentative deal reached last Friday includes nearly 11% in pay raises over the next 4 years. A baby at a New Jersey hospital is believed to be the first in the New York area to be born with a birth defect linked to the Zika virus. Details this morning from Sarah Lee Kessler.
The baby was delivered by C-section yesterday, 4 weeks early at Hackensack University Medical Center. She had an abnormally small head and a partially developed brain microcephaly, also digestive and vision problems. There is no cure. Her 31-year-old mother contracted the virus in her native Honduras after reportedly being bitten by mosquitoes. There have been two other babies born in the U.S. with severe Zika-related birth defects, one in Hawaii in January, and the other last month in Puerto Rico. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hayer, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The president does not share the views of his former Attorney General Eric Holder when it comes to the NSA leaker. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with details from Washington.
Does President Obama agree with the view of former Attorney General Eric Holder that NSA leaker Edward Snowden performed a public service when he leaked thousands of classified U.S. documents? President Obama's spokesman Josh Earnest says...
Well, the president's had the opportunity to speak on this a number of times, and I think a careful review of his public comments would indicate that he does not.
Earnest arguing Snowden's actions...
Endangered endangered our national security.
In a recent interview, Holder had said the actions of the former NSA contractor prompted an important national dialogue about privacy rights and national security. Snowden is still living in Russia and faces criminal charges here in the U.S. Holder did agree that Snowden broke the law and should be tried in a U.S. court. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A lot more kids may be getting concussions than we think. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero is here to explain.
A new study says concussions may be vastly underreported because only children diagnosed in the ER are included in government statistics. The study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found only 12% of child concussions are diagnosed in an emergency room, while 82% are diagnosed at a primary care site, such as a pediatrician's office. The study also found that one-third of those diagnosed were under the age of 12. I'm Anthony Lucero.
And I'm John DeMaster for USA Radio News. Get breaking news on the web at usaradio.com.
And we are back with more of Modern Design here on Hunter Chamber Radio. My guest today, if you're just tuning in, is Jane DeHaven. She's a local resident of the borough of Flemington with a beautiful Victorian home. And we're talking about the Stroll Through Flemington 2016. It's a historic house tour that's going to take place this Saturday, June the 4th, from 12 to 5 p.m. And we're talking about Jane's beautiful home and the challenges in 2016 in decorating a Victorian home in the modern era. So when we were on break, Jane and I were talking about buying furnishings. I find, and I don't have a historic home, I just have a colonial home, I find it very difficult, and I have all the resources, I mean, you know, just all the trade resources, and I have everything at my fingertips. I find it very difficult in buying fabrics. I find it very difficult in finding furniture pieces that represent what I'm looking for with the architecture of my home and also my design aesthetic. I find it very difficult. And I guess my question to you is, are you also finding that you're not represented when you go shopping?
I think that that's an accurate way to put it right now. To go today to many of the fabric stores, you're looking at squiggles. You're looking
squiggles
at
dots.
Geometric right. Prints that just don't work in a historic home.
It's just I find it very difficult. And I think that and there's always a pendulum, I say. I would say in the 80s, Jane, I would say that everything kind of went contemporary. And that was that sort of like awful pink and green and teal and splotches of color and so on. That was the 80s. And then the 90s came in, which I would say is my decade. The 90s was a return to traditionalism. So it was dark wood and rich jewel tones. The economy was better, so things were very rich looking. And then the aughts came, and then it sort of started to the 2000s came, and it started to shift a little bit. But by 2010, there was a definite change towards a very sleek, more modern style, lots of grays, less color, much more geometrics. And I think we're in a phase right now is it's so predominant that I do find it attractive in the right home, but it's difficult for many of us don't have a contemporary home and can't support a contemporary home. So I wish they would be more mindful of at least the word that they're calling it is transitional. So that is something that could work in a variety of environments. It may have clean lines, but there's also some warmth to it.
Well, I guess a question for you as a mm-hmm. designer, have you ever had to or commissioned fabric specific to one of the houses that you were working on or commercial establishments? Is it possible even to do something like that?
No, you know what? I actually haven't. It is possible to do something like that. And you can also do that for wallpaper. You can create, you know, Jane, I had a couple weeks ago, I had Patty Dewey from Seabrook Wall Coverings, and you can actually commission your own wallpaper. You can make your own design. They have mills that are able to accommodate that. But for fabric that can be done, it's extremely costly.
Uh-huh.
So none of my clients have wanted to take that road. So, I mean, you know, I have a lot of resources, and then we do find things that fit and work. And sometimes we can find lots of fabric that's older, which brings to mind when I saw you last, you showed me an absolutely beautiful fabric, which I don't think you would ever find today. And you're going to do something with that yourself. So there are always resources for older fabrics or different things that you can find. Tell us about the fabric that you, I don't know if you inherited, whose fabric it was for your powder room. You were showing me a fabric.
That we found as mm-hmm. we were clearing out. My aunt had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she must have bought this fabric for curtains herself.
Mm-hmm.
It looked as if she had hemmed part of it. There
right.
are only two panels.
Right.
So I'm working with that and hopeful that I can create curtains myself to work in the powder room.
And, you know, when do you think the fabric was purchased, because it was in remarkably good shape?
That is very difficult. I know she traveled overseas. Mm-hmm. Probably in the early 70s or so. So
right.
It's possible that she got them at that point.
Right.
My concern is that they do need to be laundered before mm-hmm. I do anything with
right.
them. So I think definitely checking out some very delicate fabric wash to do this. Otherwise, I am concerned that they could fade.
But having touched the fabric and feeling it felt in very good condition. It didn't feel like it was a frail fabric.
No, I think it's a linen of some type, mm-hmm. and it does seem to be hand-blocked and hand-dyed.
Right.
So, again, hopeful that I can get it clean and it won't completely wash out in the water.
Right. So, anyway, if you're just tuning in, again, we're talking about the stroll through Flemington, and Kevin and Jane have a wonderful home in Flemington in the borough, and it's on the house tour. A beautiful home. I want to talk a little bit about the rooms for those of us that can't come on Saturday. I want to talk about your layout, because I think your home is a little bit unique in the fact that the rooms are so large. There's a lot of light, which not all Victorian homes have so much light in them. Let's start with the foyer area. As I recall, I think there's some sort of a anaglyptical paper in the foyer. That is a paper that you actually paint. Is that true?
Yes, exactly.
Now, is that something that you put on, or is that something that the previous owners had done?
We did that based on what previous owners had done.
Mm-hmm.
There was a paper, but it was not in the best shape.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up replicating very closely the original anaglypta that was in the foyer.
Now, are all your walls plaster, or are they sheetrock?
The original walls are plaster.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the addition that was put on for the family room, that is sheetrock.
Okay.
But all of the other
rooms. So that's only that back room, your TV room. Like, even your kitchen is not in – Your dining room is not an addition. That's original.
Yes.
Which is amazing because of the size.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. So your foyer is plaster. So when you took down the old wallpaper – did you take down the old wallpaper?
We had a wallpaper
did that person physically take
yes.
down the, okay. So when you took down the paper, what was the shape of the walls like? Because the reason I say that is a lot of Victorian homes I go into are primarily wallpaper for the reason there were plaster walls underneath.
To tell you the truth, I think that it was in fine enough shape
it was.
To be able to re-wallpaper
right.
without wailing and gnashing of teeth.
I have a couple that are in West Orange, that just a young couple that had a Brooklyn loft, and now they're having their first home. They bought a Victorian, but they want to make it more modern. Not modern, but more modern. And they wanted me to take the wallpaper off. So I said, you have to understand, one of the reasons Victorian homes had a lot of wallpaper was from a practical standpoint. In their case, I have to skim coat every wall in order to make that happen. And sometimes that's not feasible. What made you choose an anaglyptic? I can't even say that today.
Anaglyptic.
Yes, better. Paper.
We liked it. It
mm-hmm.
provided texture,
mm-hmm.
and it's a heavy wallpaper.
Very durable,
so
right? And good for
durable.
A foyer.
Exactly.
Do you find that it took paint well?
It took paint very well.
Mm. Very good. So that's a good solution for people. If you do have plaster walls, which many of you do, the anaglyptical paper. Did I say that right? That's
anaglypta.
Oh, okay. Leave it to a librarian. Okay. So thank you. I stand corrected. That type of paper is a very durable, very thick, often vinyl product that really almost emulates tin, which is perfect for a Victorian. It has texture. It almost lends itself to being its own
well,
look.
That's a great segue
mm-hmm.
because we used anaglypta wallpaper in the kitchen as well.
Right.
On the ceiling.
Right.
And many, many people have come in thinking that it is, in fact, a tin ceiling.
Exactly. So that's a tip if you have a Victorian home that really works very well in their home. Takes paint well, can, you know, if you have some flaws in your walls, which they don't, but if there are flaws in your walls, you really can cover it with that. So your foyer is done in that paper. I'm not going to say the name again. And we'll go into your front room, which is always typically in a Victorian, it's they called it the parlor, or the formal room. You have a lovely fireplace in there, but I wouldn't necessarily equate that beautiful fireplace with that time period. Almost to me, it almost has sort of a like a French influence on it, don't you think? In the way it looks.
I guess a tad. I'm not certain whether the fireplace surround
the
is
surround.
Original to the house.
Right.
The folks that we bought the house from did some updates
right.
themselves. But I can say that the fireplace, which is now open, mm-hmm. and it's a Rumford fireplace, it
great.
Provides great heat.
Rumford fireplaces, you know, they really give out a lot of heat.
Mm-hmm. But again, when we moved in, there was a wood-burning stove in the
Oh, really?
What's now the parlor,
right.
the living room.
Beautiful room. In those years that you've been there, big changes? I think when you purchased it, buying window treatments and fabrics and furniture must have been much easier than it would be if you were a couple today just starting fresh and purchased that house, don't you think?
I think so, too. I mean, mm-hmm. again, we moved in the early 90s.
Right.
When, as you said, more traditional
Correct.
Furnishings
were available,
right.
And made it easy to do. And it's lovely and it's well done. And I think it stands the test of time. Did you change through the years? Did your taste change through the years? Many of my clients say to me, whether they're in traditional, contemporary, transitional, that over time their tastes changed. Did you find that your tastes changed?
No, not at all, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, we believe very strongly in buying something that you love and sticking with it. The whole idea of add water and mix just to get something quickly out there is,
right.
is absolutely not something that we subscribe to.
Now, your parlor furniture, your living room furniture, are those all new pieces at the time, or are those pieces that you had recovered because they have nice lines for a Victorian home?
The camelback sofa we bought when we were first married, mm-hmm. The two ladies' chairs,
right.
those are actually my mother and father's.
Right.
They bought those when they were first married, and
right.
we've had them recovered several times.
And they really suit the space. The scale is right, and they look well in the room. Let's move on to the kitchen, which I absolutely love from the first time I came into your home. And I'm a big fan. People know my work of blue and white. I have a 12-foot navy blue wall in my store right here in Flemington. And I just love blue and white as classic as possible. And I just absolutely love your kitchen. I just think it's beautiful. And I'm a big fan of blue cobalt glass. It's just lovely. And your willow ware. Did you have a vision for the kitchen when you bought the house?
It took us a long time to decide what to do with the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We poured through decorating magazines that we had subscribed to for mm-hmm. the past 15 years
right.
before we decided what we wanted to do. We had one chance to do it right,
right.
and we didn't want to make a mistake.
Right. Well, I think you did it quite right because, again, you did that in 2002 and 2016, 14 years later. That's a kitchen that I could do anywhere today, and it would be accepted and in style. So it quite
we think it's
job.
Timeless.
Right. Let's talk about your dining room, because I think you have a very large dining room, but off the dining room there's sort of a back hall area, if you will.
The
Was that part of the
that
addition?
We bought it from
okay.
called it the sunroom.
Okay.
We do think it's original to the house.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not at all sure what it original was intended to be.
Right. What's nice is it really allows a lot of light in that room.
It does. It's a very sunny room, sometimes too sunny when it's 100 degrees.
Well, my question for you is from a standpoint that you have dark wood furniture. Do you find that is that an ever issue when you have dark furniture with sun? Do you find over time that you're susceptible to fading?
It is something that we're beginning to worry a little bit about.
Mm. The other day, I went to move one of my rugs in the kitchen. I just saw the difference between the, 11 years ago, what the floor looked like, and underneath the carpet, what the floor looked like. So it does happen very subtly sometimes.
Exactly.
And then you realize what's going on. Let's talk about your dining room. When you moved into that house from where you came from before, did you have a dining room set, or did you have to start fresh and then create all that?
We had to start fresh. We
mm-hmm.
came from an apartment. We
right.
were practically newlyweds
right.
when we moved into the house.
Mm-hmm.
So many things we've collected over time.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about your furnishings in the dining room for those who won't be able to make the tour. Tell us what your color scheme, because I love your dining room also.
The color scheme in the dining room, we've got, oh, good heavens,
mm-hmm.
it's escaping me, but are the
uh-huh.
white on the bottom, what is that called?
Sort of a wainscot?
A wainscoting, mm-hmm. exactly. And we've got a picture rail molding.
Wonderful.
So if you can picture, it's up a little bit higher.
Right.
So that pictures are meant to be hung from
and changed
that
out, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Because, again, in the Victorian era, with plaster walls, you did not want to be putting
no.
pictures up and moving
banging them. Things around, right.
Exactly. So the bottom, I guess, what would you say, two-thirds?
Two-thirds is a beautiful white wainscot.
Beautiful white wainscot.
Right.
And the top is a deep blue. It's right. Called Hudson Bay Blue from Benjamin Moore.
Almost a navy, a really gorgeous color. And I think I always say to people, dining rooms, and I equate it to this. I say, when you're entertaining in your dining room, when you were a kid in school and you had your picture taken, remember when they did the individual pictures, they had that sort of 1970s backdrop, which was that blue thing. It always made everybody look beautiful. So when you're entertaining at night, you want your guests to look relaxed and beautiful. So that's a place where you really should add a beautiful paint color. And blue is universally, everybody looks good against blue. It couldn't matter what your ethnicity, what your coloring, everybody looks nice with a blue background. So it's a great color for a dining room. Definitely. What about finding your table and your chairs? Was there a story to that, or did you buy a set or change up things? What did you do to make that work?
We got them separately.
Okay.
Because, again, we're very much opposed to the add water and mix. Just go out and get something
right.
Because you need to fill a space.
Exactly, that someone else can have the same thing. Exactly. And then through the years, did you change? Did you reupholster? Did you add head chairs? Did you do things to the dining room over time to change it out?
Well, we were fortunate that the set that we bought did have two armchairs mm-hmm. to begin with. But I don't even know if you remember this or not. You were the one who, after we brought the blue in,
okay.
Suggested gold
right.
on the chair seats,
right.
which works beautifully with
right.
the color.
Right. Well, they just have a nice, those colors have a nice synergy in the space. Do you find the trend is, and you know, I shouldn't just exclusively talk about millennials, but the millennials are the people that are moving into new houses, so I see them more often lately. The millennials don't know what a formal dining room is for. They don't understand it, which makes me a little bit angry, but they don't understand what they want to knock the wall down and have one open space with having their dining set be in the kitchen. I particularly like, I could forego my formal living room. I can understand that, but I think a dining room is pretty important. For me, per se. Do you find that you use your dining room a lot when you entertain?
We do. We absolutely do. And I think one of the things that we were fortunate about this house is mm-hmm. the fact that it has doors. So you can open and close the different doors and have different views.
Don't you also think from a practical standpoint, if you're entertaining a group of people, you have that sort of separation when you're doing heavy cooking and big things, that it's kind of nice to have people sort of in a space that's not right on top of you. These people that want to, you know, cook out of their kitchen and, you know, sometimes there's no way to hide the pots and the pans and the ware. And a dining room sort of puts you, your guests a little bit away from that. And I kind of actually think that's a good thing.
Exactly.
Definitely. All right, Jane, we're going to go to our last set of commercial breaks, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
And we are back with Modern Design. My guest today is Jane DeHaven, and we're talking about something called The Stroll Through Flemington 2016. It's a historic house tour right here in the borough. It's going to happen this Saturday on June 4th between 12 and 5 p.m. And let us know, Jane, where we can get tickets again.
www.historicflemingtonnj.com.
Wonderful.
You can go for more information.
Mm-hmm.
Borough Hall is selling tickets, and there are a number of other local businesses.
Wonderful, and I think the tickets are pretty reasonable, aren't they?
Tickets are $20 mm-hmm. ahead of the event day and
right.
$25 on the day of the event.
And there's actually eight structures that you can actually visit, so you
yes.
really could make a whole day of it.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Before we were going to break, we were talking about Jane's lovely home and Victorian home and the rooms that she has and things about decorating and so on. Let's talk about your powder room, because I think your powder room is kind of interesting. And for those of you who won't be able to make the tour, talk about a little bit about just sort of a visualization of their home and things you can do if you have a Victorian. When you had your – you also have a large powder room.
The powder room has an original tall tank toilet in it.
Which I think is very so, sharp looking.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We like that a lot.
Do you find that's hard to maintain over time because it's the commode is older and so on?
It has had its issues.
Mm-hmm.
We had to have a copper liner remade, mm-hmm. and I think it was causing our plumber lots of angst, but he got us through it, and
mm-hmm.
it's still working, and we hope it continues to work.
It's very sharp looking. But also, that powder room is, even in today's standards, is quite a large powder room.
I guess it must be. I mean, what do you think? It's
I almost question
10
it
by 8 or something?
It's a big powder room. I mean, that's a big powder room.
I think it may have originally been a butler's pantry.
I was wondering that. I was wondering if that was a butler's pantry because also the shape of it and having been off the kitchen, I was wondering if maybe that's where that was. But
exactly.
I'm not sure of the history of the house. But it's a great space, and it's nice that you're not cramped into a tiny space. And then finally, you have a wonderful room on the back, sort of a cozy den room. I guess you call that your den?
We call it the family
room.
Folks have come in and called it the library.
Mm-hmm.
The people that we bought our house from were both librarians, as
mm-hmm.
I am.
Right.
And that was one of the few homes that we actually saw that had bookshelves.
Right. Wonderful. So that room was added on. Did you know when that room was added on?
I believe in the early 80s, early to mid 80s.
Right, right. But they did a good job with it because it really flows with the rest of the house. You know, you go into many homes that have additions and you're like, oh, here's the addition. It doesn't necessarily read that way.
Exactly. Well, again, the folks that we bought the house from were very, very historically preservation-minded,
mm-hmm.
and they really took painstaking steps to make the addition look like it was original to the house.
Which is so key. I say to people all the time, I'm dealing with a couple right now in Hunterdon County, get an architect and be mindful of the architecture. If you have an older home, don't put a ridiculous two-story addition on that doesn't flow with the house. You have to think of how it looks from the inside, how it looks from the outside, and what the flow is of the house. And also from a very practical standpoint, you'll get more money for your home if you have a style that's consistent. People make mistakes. They change floors. You know, one of the popular things right now is that tile that looks like wood. Well, if you have a wood house that has wood floors and then you put a tile that looks like wood, that's never going to mesh well. You know, that's going to be a very a negative. So overall, Jane, with your house, you have a lot of spaces that you can go to. Let's talk about the porches and entertaining. You have a lovely front porch, which is quite large, and a back porch. Do you spend any time on the front porch?
Not as much as we would like.
Right.
But
I was working, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Back porch probably a bit more.
Mm-hmm, for the privacy and
exactly.
so on. Do you find that your porch in the back, do you find that you have a beautiful pergola and you have some, which this
wisteria.
Is a perfect time, wisteria that are in bloom. Do you find that that space to be too sunny for you, or do you find that that works for you? You go out later in the evening. I know in my deck off the back of the house, I can really only use it late in the day because I get full sun.
Well, when we moved into the house, we had three large maple trees, which
mm-hmm.
unfortunately maples are very susceptible to mm-hmm. carpenter ants.
Right.
So over time, we lost all three, and we don't have a lot of shade anymore,
mm-hmm.
but hopeful to plant another tree at some point, perhaps.
Jane, believe it or not, we're at the end of our hour. It goes by so quickly. Just really quickly, I wanted you to give one more time the information. If somebody wants to join you on the Stroll Through Flemington 2016, how can they get tickets?
For more information, go to www.historicflemingtonnj.com.
Wonderful. Thank you for being my guest. You're wonderful, and hope to have you back again. Okay, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you later today at 2 o'clock for Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. Until then, thank you. Get out there. It's a beautiful day. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Egyptian officials say a French ship has detected signals thought to be coming from the black boxes on that Egypt Air flight that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea last month. Flight 804 was carrying 66 passengers and crew from Paris to Cairo when it went down May 19th, killing all on board. A new poll out today shows Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton leading Republican Donald Trump in a very tight race. The Quinnipiac University poll has the former Secretary of State ahead of the likely GOP nominee 45-41%. The race tightening up even more when a third-party candidate is added on. Donald Trump lashing out at some media members for their coverage of his donations to veterans groups.
I'm not looking for credit, but what I don't want is when I raise millions of dollars, have people say like this sleazy guy right over here from ABC. He's a sleaze.
The veterans groups, by the way, all saying they got their checks. This is USA Radio News.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments...